Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 222, the conclusion. This is part two to poverty. Today is Sunday, November 27th, 2011.
I like to do a song of great social and political import. It goes like this. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Dialing $4 is trying to find me. I wait for delivery each day until 3. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a color TV? Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? I'm counting on you, Lord. Please don't let me down. Prove that you love me and buy the next round. Oh Lord, won't you buy me a night on the town? Everybody, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends. Worked hard all my lifetime. No help from my friends. So, oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? That's it.
Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's club is located in Disciples Ministries, historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food, you live anywhere in Minnesota, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, you can come to Pastor Paul's Club Monday through Friday between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. Bring a picture ID, a current piece of mail with your address. Verify your household members with either medical cards or social security cards. Come between 9:30 and 10:30 a.m. Bring extra bags to carry other food that's available, and that food is generally produce, dairy products, baked goods, and some canned goods. If you want to purchase extra food from Pastor Paul, bring dollar bills. Do not bring anything larger than a 5. If you need more information about Pastor Paul's club and how to register your household for monthly groceries, directions to Pastor Paul's, call 612-521-4665, prompt 1. Now, this is the month of November, my favorite month. Well, every month is a good month for me. But I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey dressing, mashed potatoes and gravy, homemade cranberries, sweet potatoes, green beans, you know, just all the traditional Thanksgiving foods. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Did I mention scalloped corn? I can hardly wait. So, there again, if you need food, come on to Pastor Paul's. We've got lots of food as well. The month of November, our transitional month, we go from a nice summer to cold winter, Thanksgiving, holidays around the corner, all kinds of things happening. Well, here's what's happening on the podcast. Jot these down. The messages, divine thoughts, the scent sends, the invisible people, poverty. This is going to be a good month. Be back here every Friday for part one, every Sunday for part two. And if you're not here, you're not all there. Is that how it goes? Thanks for coming to the podcast. I love the podcast. I am so thankful for this podcast. And I hope you are. Have a great month. God bless you.
Isn't that the blessing, the inward blessing, huh? So many times you're thinking, well, funds will roll in. I gave 30. I'll probably get 3,000 back. I believe for it. How about believing to be blessed to God, and so you just tingle all over and you feel good? Whew. How about giving your life? You see, He enriches us with spiritual graces as well as material things, doesn't He? Isn't this a reason, our whole reason for giving and giving our life? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God Himself delights to give. You listening out there, whenever you feel like you want to withhold from the work of God, think of your Savior giving all that He had to serve you. When you see how unselfish He was, how can you be selfish? Look at Jesus' face and then look at Him, and then as He says, I gave my life for you, now try and squeeze your sweaty little quarter another time or two. Say amen, somebody. See, this is something we got to get back to and something we have to learn. The prosperity teachings have all but ruined this. They've twisted the scriptures into their own destruction. Wow. Doesn't it say in the Word of God and all these Southerners? Nothing wrong with a Southerner, but boy, they sure are taking... They sure got the cotton bowl going, or whatever they have down there, boll weevil bowl or whatever. Don't you think God wants to give you abundantly? And here's somebody that's so depressed, they don't care about giving. They want to just have peace of mind. My God, they want to be free. And the only way to freedom is to give hilariously and give away all their problems. Don't you think He wants to, your face is a dragon in the mud, son, and they go on and on. I'm so sick of listening to them. Go bail yourself up in a great big bale of cotton so all that's sticking out is your hands and your feet and your head. I am tired of hearing it. And see, if you can withhold from Jesus by not giving what you have, your money and your service to the poor, you don't know His love at all. And if you don't know His love at all, you haven't got anything at all. Our text here first tells us that Jesus was rich. Next, it tells us that He had to condescend, He had a condensation, had to come down, become poor. We had to condense the meaning. And then we have the effect and result of His poverty, that we might be made rich. Now I'm going to close it when I get done with this message with one thing. With a doctrine. Not only with a doctrine, but with a question and then an exhortation. And so first our text tells us that Jesus Christ was rich. Never ever think that our Savior's life began when He was born of the Virgin Mary. Well, see, Jesus was born in a barn, see, and He worked His way up. I mean, he had to work His way up. Yeah, self-made. You hear a lot of people say, I'm a self-made man. To which I reply, tell your mother that. She had to listen to all your bawling and crying and your influenza and your earaches, and your belly aching and all of that. Tell your mom and your dad that you are self-made. There's no one that's self-made. Now, when we talk about Jesus, remember that He is eternal. He is before all things. And so many times we pull him out at Christmas. Away in him. And we dress all our little kids up. And they have their long little things. And this is fine, but they have this. And this is where we drag out the little crib out here, you know, and some straw. And we hate to mess the stage up and everything. Oh, well, it's only once a year. Go ahead, throw us a little straw there. Make it look real. You don't think there's folks like that? Believe me, they are. We pull up the little manger out there, and you know, we have a couple of cows painted over here, you know, and the kids walk up away in the manger, no crib for a babe, and so on. I never understood that, because they always have a crib. It's true, isn't it? Why do they have that crib? Oh, see, you can knock that out. Now you have to worry about dragging that out once a year. No, and that's where they put him. They put him on flannel boards. They put him on blackboards. Born of the Virgin Mary. They even pray through Mary. They believe in Mary more than they do Jesus. No, he was from the beginning, and he will always be. There has never been a period of time in which there was not Christ Jesus our Lord. He is self-existent. He has no beginning of days, the Bible says, or end of years. He is immortal. He is invisible. He is the only wise God, our Savior. We're talking about God. Hallelujah. Away in a manger, no crib for a babe. And the kid forgets the words, and the teacher's behind her. Huh? A real spirit of the Lord there. Come on. Just look up. Just look around. Review all of his riches. Before he condescended to become poor for you. You're listening on a radio. Jesus said, I created everything. I owe everything. Nothing was ever created that wasn't put through me. What kind of a need would the God of all the universe have? He created everything. All he has to do, the Bible says, is call it into existence. Let there be light. Are you hearing it? Let there be a million angels. Let there be a Lynn. Let there be a Mike. Let there be a Ron. Let there be a Jim. Let there be a Paul, a Mick, a Don. Let there be an Alicia. Let there be a Steve. Let there be the people. And we call men rich because they have honor, but what and who can compare with our King? Nor was he poor in any other sense. No sense. No, he owns it all. And those who have wealth here on this earth, and the Bible bears me out, are desperately poor if they have not love. Bible says, if you love me, you'll obey me. Well, if you're obeying the Lord, then you'll get in your pocket and start meeting the needs of some of these people in Africa and around about our world here that are having all kinds of problems. I myself would rather be a pauper, dependent upon welfare, than rich and despised and hated because of unlove. I think a man is the poorest he'll ever be if he hasn't love. And there's so many things that you can, even in the natural, show your love. People in the world, a lot of times, have more love than people in the church. See, because we take it for granted because we have it all. Don't we? And they even have songs, you know, about friends and about loyalty and about duty. About Old Glory. And they have more dedication than we do in the church. Are we believers that don't believe or what? Do you know what they would do in the army? I don't know if they would do it now, but you know what they used to do in the army if someone deserted? They shot them. Somebody forget to take a pill or something?
Sorry about that.
Well, it's timely. It's timely. Isn't it? That there just shows me I only got one more hour to go. Lock all the doors and windows, let all the roast beefs burn. Had to get it something to get it going, you know what I mean? Are you hearing what I'm preaching here today? God had it all, and we don't have love, we have nothing. You can give all your gold and all your diamonds, and you can give your body to be burned, the Bible says. But if you don't have love, you have nothing. You'll add up to a great big fat zero. Jesus wasn't poor in love. See, his love can't be measured because the Bible says he is love. You can check people out. Check them out a lot of times by their kids. That's a testimony. Little kids come up. Kids gave a testimony about Ron down there. They both love Ron. It's a pretty good testimony, Ron. It is, isn't it? Isn't that a great testimony? I think that's something to really think about. No, but you cannot measure God's love because it's immeasurable. You can't measure love because it is the essence of all love. God is love. Now we have to understand that. You legal pastors must understand that you're dealing with a God of all love, and all love has all mercy and all forgiveness. When he came to earth, he didn't come to get our love. He didn't come looking around, looking for our love. Will someone love me? Will you love me? Will you? Will you, sir? Sir. Sir, I want you to love me. You have on this great looking suit. You look like a man of substance. I want your love, sir. No. Jesus didn't come looking for love. He came to give love. He was love. He came to a loveless, lifeless society to show people how to love. Somebody, give your life. Give your life for a friend. A lot of people wouldn't give 2 cents for their friend if he was in trouble. Read about a man here that was in trouble. He's in jail now. And I thought, well, they wouldn't give 2 cents for that guy now. They don't even want to claim him. Well, you know, they'll claim it. Yeah, he did live here, but there was always something about him, sort of a sneaky, nerdy way he had. I always thought that I did. You did, huh? Takes one to know one, says I. No, he didn't come here to receive love. He came here to give love out. See, because it says in the Bible the Father delighted in him fully. It says in the Bible that the Trinity is one. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, they're one. Hallelujah. Let them be one even as we are. See, for someone then to try to explain the riches of our Lord Jesus Christ would be impossible. He is rich beyond all thought. I mean, you blow every fuse in your brain. You look up and you start to think about how surprised these angels must have been when he announced, I shall shroud myself with clay, with flesh, and become a babe and live and die. When he starts to take off the crown. when we have to speak in earthly terms. And they probably thought, what, King of kings and Lord of lords, lay aside his star-studded crown for what? What, put on a peasant's garments? Take on the flesh, become a man? Could this be true, that he who is everlasting, he that is immortal, would one day be nailed to a cross? Impossible! Can't you see, and the Bible bears out what I'm saying, that they stood in wonderment, and that they desired to look in, they wanted to know what it meant, that he would say, for our sakes, he would become poor. Imagine Jesus Christ, the God of all the universe, that everything was made through. And I had to talk in human terms, taking off the star-studded crown and golden slippers. And says, I will be born of a virgin. And then they followed him as closely as they could. As that star descended down upon this planet. They still can't understand it. They couldn't help but sing out glory, they said, to God in the highest, on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. And they wouldn't go away. There were hosts of them until the shepherds began to wonder. Until heaven had hung out new stars in honor of the new king. Brand new stars. Mighty angels, obedient angels, struggled with the maker's decision to become now a babe. Leave the, again, we have to use earthly terms, silken bed and be put in a manger. Wearing those clothes and shrouded in those old rags of the poor. Also, the Bible says he couldn't rest long. He must be off and he must be gone, and he had to go off to Egypt. Become a stranger, it says, in a strange land. And when he comes back as what? A carpenter. What poverty? We talk about poverty. What, poor garments. Often hungry, the Bible says. No chariot. But he must walk. Oh, what poverty. He even looked, it says in the Bible, upon the fox and said, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but I, the Son of Man, have not where to lay my head. Now, the one who was the head of it all comes down and washes the disciples' feet. He was once honored, the Bible says, with hallelujahs of all the ages. All the ages, can you fathom that? The hallelujahs of all the tritrillions ages. And can't you see the angels, oh Father, just one visit. Just one lightning bolt. And so he who was loved by his father and had abundance of wealth, of affection, could say, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. What humiliation for Christ. And he did it all to show us the way of the cross. And we don't want to go that way of the cross. And that's why we're so miserable in our walk. We do not want to go the way of the cross, to suffer for the joy that's before us. And so we invent a whole lot of styrofoam crosses. Scotch tape instead of nails. And so he says in the Bible, and I'll run through it briefly here, that he wandered out into the wilderness of temptation. Fasting, it says, with beasts all around him. Oh, and you have to trace him through his very weary way. What a weary trip for the God of all the universe. Man of sorrows, it says, and acquainted with grief. And you know what the world called him? A drunk. Isn't he the byword of the drunkard? Isn't he the song of the scorner? Isn't he hooted yet today by the malicious? And even then they called him a drunk and a wino and a whoremonger. A whoremonger. Didn't he have to go to the garden? I think it's so important we minister the gospel so people will know what poor really is. God of all the universe, let's get back onto the gospel. And so follow then the God of all the universe, that everything was ever made was made through him, sweating blobs of blood running off of him, sweat droplets of blood. Follow him to the Roman whips and the pouring out of rivers of blood. Follow him to the cross, hear the nails being pounded in, and mark his poverty. I mean, we're talking poor, friend. See him stripped naked and humiliated. When he asks for water, they jam an old vinegar sponge in his mouth. So poor. And look, so poor that he had a thorn crown. Now we're talking poor. Aren't we? Now we're busy talking about getting wealth and increased in goods. And Jesus is saying, go the way of the cross, will you? No, son of man, I don't know which to admire most, your height of glory or your depths of misery. How will we exalt thee? Shouldn't we become exalted and excited and lifted up when we hear the name of Jesus? Shouldn't we not sing praises unto his name? I read a love story, and this man had a kingdom. He was a king. And he fell in love, desperately in love. I don't know why they always use that word desperately, but I'll use it too. Desperately in love. With his peasant girl, and so he had to leave his kingdom, and he had to leave all of his gold and all of his silver and all of his Cadillacs and all of his worldly possessions, and he had to go live with this peasant girl. And I thought, at that time, I thought, wow, what a love story. And there was a lot more to it. Well, then we hear of Jesus Christ that came, and we just take it so lightly. Oh, I've heard that song. We've heard that before. Away in the manger, no crib for a babe. We're bored with it. We're bored with it. We're bored with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But I think also there is one peculiarity about his poverty of Jesus Christ that we should never, ever forget. And I think that those who are brought up poor don't feel the woes of their condition like someone that's been brought up rich, had everything, and then all of a sudden they had a nice home and a nice car and a big business, and now they have to dress poorly, and you're going to see that. Live in a small apartment and scrub the floors. And then, see, they have known something better. Now they have to walk the streets. They have to stand the embarrassment of being seen in the unemployment line. You'll know who they are. A lot of them have dark glasses on. Maybe they'll have to come down here to this mission down here. One woman was just weeping. She says, "Oh God, I didn't want to come down here. I don't know what to do. I haven't got nothing. I haven't got any food. I haven't got anything. They're going to kick me out of my place over there." And I'm so embarrassed and everything. I says, "You know how I got all this food, honey?" "Well, how'd you get all this food?" I said, "I begged for it." I mean, all you have to do is ask for it. See, it's hard for people that have everything and then they have to come down. I think we have to be twice as tender with those folks. The least little slight will set them off. It's like a knife right to their heart. And they say, most of them say, "I've known better days." It's like a cloud that hangs over their joys. I say, "Well, what does that have to do with right now, that you knew better days? I mean, you have nothing to prove. I have nothing to prove. I mean, just rejoice that you're all together. Is your family together?" "Yeah, we're all together." "I mean, I you know, have you got a place to stay and a roof over your head?" Yeah. And did you get rid of that those cars you didn't need? And did you get rid of this and so on like that? Isn't that a burden lifted from you? And what's that? You're going to get a job next month for 1/10 of the pay you're getting? Well, will you be able to keep yourself together? Yeah, well, see, I came out of a $250,000 job. There's a lot of those guys that are out there. A year. Well, 10% of that ain't bad. $25,000. See? You can buy a lot of grub for $25,000. Just think of all the fun you'll have cutting out all them coupons. Cut, 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 cut. And going down and going into the marketplace down there. Actually physically feeling a head of lettuce. Never felt one before. Just run through the thing or have a servant go through there. Now you got to feel the head of lettuce, see if it's nice and firm, and grab the tomatoes. I used to laugh at my dad. He used to love to go to the grocery store and go through the whole thing. And I thought, that is so crazy, loving to go to the grocery store. You know what I like to do? I love to go to the grocery store. If I haven't got nothing else to do, I think, well, I think I'll go down to the grocery store. Supermarket, and I go down there and I look at all these vegetables and fruits and all this stuff like that. Isn't that crazy? Well, I'm involved in food now. And I sort of snicker. Oh, yeah, look at them bananas there. A little bunch like that for $2. How many bananas we have yesterday? We were all singing, "Yes, we have some bananas. We have some bananas today, like 2 tons of them, you know. Hey. Isn't that something? You learn to appreciate things, don't you? You go home and you have a salad. You cut the tomatoes. Don't they look good when you cut them? I mean, when you really need them, and you cut the tomatoes up, and you slice the lettuce up just right, and you put it in the little bowl, and you put the little olives on there, and I make it different, the feta cheese, and you make your own salad dressing, and you do the whole thing yourself, and you say, isn't that a satisfying thing? Rather than going someplace, and cost you like for two people like $60. Someone's up there trying to entertain you. You know what I mean? Playing the piano so loud you can't even hear yourself think. And the food isn't exceptional. It's edible, but it's not like when you cut the tomatoes up and the lettuce and you put it on the table and you enjoy each other's company and so on like that. Go to one of them places and don't leave a tip, and you'll have to wait the next time for an hour to get served. You don't even have to tip when you're at home. Well, you can tip yourself. Get out of this pocket and put it back in this one. Whatever turns you on, you know. Let me lock this message up. I think there's another thing we have to look at here, and it's our Lord's patience. When the devil said, "Fall down and worship me," when Jesus was standing on the pinnacle of the temple, oh, he would not touch this vile deceiver, but let him do as whatever he pleased. And oh, I thought, what might of misery and love there must have been in the Savior's heart when he was spit on by the very men he created. You ever had somebody spit in your face? How many have had somebody spit in their face? Put your hands up. I just want to see how many others have just actually gob you. They hawk a gob on you. Spat in your face. Now, hawking gobs is when they spat oysters in your face. That gives you a little warning. But they actually do that. And it actually happened to me. Did it make you mad? Did it make you mad? How many of it made you mad? Let me tell you something. I was a little angry. If there would have been some nails there, I would have bit him right in half and spit him back at the person. And then another time someone spit in my face, and all I could do was just kind of weep. Suffered being tempted. And so now we have a wonderful Savior and someone to follow here. Let me sink this in today. I, the chief of sinners, and yet for my sake, he died. And here is the reason that we, through his poverty, might be rich. Our poverty might become rich out of his poverty. What a joyful theme. Is there anything else that you might want? Are you not rich in the possession of Jesus Christ, the God of all the universe? See, if you have Jesus, you have it all, you listening on the radio. Paul says later, things present, things to come, and this world, and life, and death, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Do you have food? How many of you have food to eat when they go home? Something to eat. Graham crackers, anything. Just put your hands up. This food. Bible says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Can I read one more scripture before you go? Take me. Put your hands up if I can read one more scripture. Well, who would dare say no on that one? This is Psalm 69 and 33. For the Lord, listen, encouragement to the poor out there. For the Lord heareth the poor. For the most part, the rulers of this earth right now are not hearing the poor. They're deaf to the poor. You know who's hearing the poor right now? The Lord is hearing the poor. Who else can we ever imagine was been brought lower than the Lord Jesus Christ? I mean, how low can you go? He went the very lowest. And you that are in prison right now, Jesus has a special love for you. There's someone in prison right now that's listening to this. Maybe he got into some things. And you know how things snowball on you? And you get into different things and this happens and that happens. You wonder. Do you ever wonder how these people go across country and it starts out with one murder? They try to cover it up and they have to murder somebody else and they murder somebody else and they murder somebody else. And if you could ask them how it all happened, they say, I don't know. It just happened. I'm real sorry. Did you know that Jesus is with those people? They're in that prison right now. And they're sitting in those prisons right now, living in their own hell. You know who's there with them? Jesus Christ is in there, in the prisons. You prisoners that are listening in there, Jesus is with you right now. And you know what? You can have full pardon and full forgiveness right now where you sit. You really want to sin? After you receive Jesus Christ, let some nerd tell you that you're not saved. You receive Jesus and you're saved once and forever and for always. You out there in St. Peter, and I have tapes that go out to St. Peter, mental hospital. Do you know, you out there in St. Peter, the only difference between you and all of us that are sitting out here, myself included, is that you told what your problems are. We haven't trusted them to anybody yet. We learned to give them to Jesus. You fearful to get out of there? I can tell you right now, you can get out of there. Don't worry about your medications, because you can get off of them too. Just receive the Lord Jesus Christ, who became poor for you and me. It's the end of my message today, but we're rich in a lot of ways. It's like I said with Ron here, you know, the love of your family and those kids. I mean, that's pretty great, really, you know. I mean, in this day and age, it's surprising, you know, really. And so we're rich. A lot of people don't have that. Mick and Alicia and their kids, I mean, isn't that rich? Just think about it. That's pretty rich, isn't it? I mean, what would you have to pay for one of them kids? Well, you're probably thinking, I'd pay a lot just to get rid of them right now. But I mean, really, when it comes right down to it, you know what I mean? It's good to see your kids on their own, okay? Like, get out, make it, you know. But I mean, you know what I'm saying, though? When it comes right down to it, see, you can look around and you can count your blessings, see? And then you kids, in turn, can count your blessings, too. And say, you've blessed me enough, I'm going to bless you back. You know what I mean? I think that's something we need to get back into, is supplying, you know, like my dad, he always took care of his parents and so on like that. I, for some later in my life, then took care of my mother when my dad left. I think that's what it's going to come back to, so that they're not just surviving, but that they can have a good time. You know what I mean? So you think about that. Just how much you're going to give back to your mom and dad. I have set mine at $100 for each child, so that's $400 a month. Now, I'll mark that down. No, what I'm saying that, see, it's that feeling of giving out there. I'm not trying to set up a thing here. I mean, you got to have a little bit of humor when you minister like I do. See, it's you have people laying by the wayside with foaming at the mouth and their tongues hanging out, see, feeling like some kind of a lion grabbed a hold of them and tore their ears off. Well, see, that's what it's all about, is giving. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever should believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what the whole total gospel is. And we have got to get back to the simple gospel. Do you know how much strength there is in simplicity? There's a lot of strength in just simplicity, keeping it simple. I remember one time, God told me that, keep it simple, stupid, because I got real, I knew all these scriptures and everything, and I was studying, and I didn't quote scripture. Oh, wait a minute, now it says, and so on, so on, so on. Early in my walk, you know, after about 4 years of study, and then this, and then that, but therefore, and so on, and all that, you know. God spoke to me and said, keep it simple, stupid. The strength is in keeping it simple. When you lead someone to Christ, keep it simple. God so loved the world. Did we receive Him and have everlasting life? Then some nut will run up. Did they repent? Did they repent? Did they repent? See? Well, they couldn't even say that unless God gave them the power to be saved. Repentance is of God. See, you have to, it seems like you have to educate other Christians while you're out on the street trying to be simple. They want to get complicated. They want to go all the way through Genesis, all the way through the book of Revelations. By that time, the guy's died. A boredom. See, he isn't spiritually discerned yet. He doesn't understand what they're talking about. But when you give the gospel message out, they have a witness in their spirit that Jesus Christ is God. Somehow, they know that you're telling the truth. And they're awakened, and they're given that light. If we're faithful to preach the gospel message and keep it simple, it just opens people up. Say, well, yeah, I understand. Huh? All of a sudden, I remember when I got saved, all of a sudden, I understood. I never understood it before. Now I understand. Is there anyone in here today that hasn't received Jesus as their personal Savior? Is there anybody up in the balcony?
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 222. That was part two to poverty. If you missed part one, go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two of Pastor Paul's podcast. Next Friday, the message is In All Things. Have a great week. We'll see you back here. God bless you.
Amen.